read previously for us. You go back there. I don't know, what was that, page 901, if you needed it again? Something like that. In my Bible, it's a little bit higher than that. Again, this is one of those sermons, if I could give it to you. I don't think you're going to learn anything. You know, you say, well, we're going to waste my time. But reminding people is one of the biggest things we have to do in life, is it not? I've got to be reminded over and over. So again, kind of just put a sermon together. EX seems to be the letters of the day. You'll see when I give you the 3 points. The title of it is Extreme Love, but as I give you the 3 points, all 3 points will start with an E and an X. But it's just a good reminding that we need to do here. And it's good for us to be reminded. Again, this is on 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 to 19. We'll look at verses outside, but we'll look at a lot of the principles that are given there also. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, maybe no new material is going to be given, but or maybe we'll show things in a different light or see some ways that things are written in the Scripture that we've not seen before and understand exactly what they mean now. But Lord, the meaning's useless if we don't put it into practice. Lord, just be hearers and knowers of the Word doesn't do us a whole lot of good unless we just put it into practice and use it in every day. Lord, I ask that you would help us now to see the Word of God and put it into practice in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I put this here because this basically starts out verse 10. If you look at verse 10, the Bible is clear that the way of the Christian is to be vastly different from the way of the world. Look at verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Again, the idea here is, as we walk through this earth, there ought to be something in this life, in our lives, that make us different than the world. You know, if you hang out with the world and nobody can tell the difference between your Christian life and their Christian life, there's something wrong. Now, there's nothing wrong with hanging out with the world. Jesus ate with publicans and sinners, did he not? But was he like them? Did he act like them? Did he do the things that they did when he was with them? I guarantee he didn't. So there is a vast difference between the way that we live our lives. And right here, John, in the book of 1 John, is going to give us loving the brethren as one of those vast differences that ought to take place in our lives. Again, just a very short summary of the book of 1 John. 1 John was written so Christians could read it and have an idea that you're saved. It'll give you reasons why you can say, you know what, I'm saved. Because of certain things in here. I'm not going to give you all of them, but there's a list given in 1 John. But here, the part that we're in, the idea is given here that as a Christian, as you start loving the brethren, it lets you know that you've got Christ in your life. It also does the other thing. If you don't love anybody, you know what? You better check whether Christ lives in your life. You better check that you're saved if you don't like anybody. And that's what we're saying here. So there's a vast difference between the way Christians should live their lives and the world should live their lives. I've put it this way. The way of the world is to put self first, love self, and provide for self. What word did you hear a lot of? Self. Okay? It's all there. It's all about me. I was doing this the other day for the men, and then Ken Gore came up with a video or whatever. But one of the things that I hate in watching sports is exaltation of self. I was telling the men last Sunday evening that I was watching a football game. It happened to be Alabama. But a player for LSU came around the right side, gained about 4 or 5 yards. A linebacker for Alabama came over and tackled him after the LSU player gained 4 or 5 yards. And as soon as the player tackled him, the guy that made the tackle stood up and did this. And just looked at everybody in the crowd and just did this. And I'm like, go away. I mean, he did gain 4 or 5 yards, which in any plays, a respectable gain, is it not? And you tackled him. That's kind of like what we expected you to do. You know, come look at me. What I like, and see Ken Gore, we won't put it up there now, but Ken Gore says, I've got a video that I show my soccer players. And basically, it is of a soccer goalie in a shootout. And a man kicks the ball to score a goal, and the goalie dives and saves it. And then he stands up and starts pounding his chest. And as he's pounding his chest, the ball is still moving and rolls in the goal behind him. It scored. It was good. Okay? Now, I tell people, you know what? If the man would have gotten up and instead of worrying about looking at himself and looking, I mean, you have it on your phone, okay? Because he showed it to me. There it was. It rolled right in. He should have got up and what? Made sure everything was good before he started. Well, he shouldn't have exiled himself at all, okay? That's the way of the world. Look at me. Look how great I am. Look at everything, okay? And that's not what it's about, okay? At the academy, we say a true winner's creed, do we not? We still say it, okay? We do all on the athletic field, not to the glory of self, but all to the glory of God. That's what we're there to do. I don't know. One of our soccer players, well, we're getting into basketball now. One of our basketball players makes a play, and you do one of these, and you turn around and do this, okay? So if you ever see Abby Mahalik doing that or whatever, okay? She's benched, okay? I'm going to bench you, okay? Don't do it, Abby, all right? Tell your teammates not to do it either. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way of the world. It's look at me. It's all about me providing for self and all that. What is the way of the Christian is to put others first, love others, and provide for others. Again, I've got my theology right. I know Jesus is first. You understand that. But again, it's about others in this world, is it not? It ought not be about ourselves. It ought to be about others. Again, Cain, if you look at verse 12 there and what we gave, Cain is the biblical example of what self-love is all about. Okay? He's the example of the world, and because of his philosophy of life and who he thought he was and what he thought he was offering and all that, you know what? He killed his brother. He killed his brother. And so when people might say, well, hey, you know, so I don't love people the way I should. What's the big deal? Watch out where it heads. Watch out where it heads. Because Cain is the example given here of a man that was all about self, and he wasn't going to do anything God's way. And he ended up killing his brother. Again, you can go over to verse 16 then, where we notice there, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Again, Jesus is the best example of what love is all about. You can't look any further, any better. You can't find anyone that has exhibited what love is. And again, as I keep telling people, one of the things that's hard for me to understand, well, I don't even understand it. Why would God love me? Why would the Creator God of all this earth, why would he love me? Why would he give himself for me? I don't understand it. He's the best example we have of what love is all about for other people there. So again, that's what it's about. Again, right here, genuine love for others is our calling card. Again, you don't have to go there, but John 13:5, by this shall all men know that we are his disciples because we have what? Love one for another, okay? Again, the word calling card, okay? What's a calling card? It's usually what a businessman pulls out and says, you know, I'm a salesman. I represent such and such a company. Here's my business card, okay? You know what? We don't need to pull out a business card. You know what? I'm a Christian. I represent Jesus Christ. You know what my calling card is? Watch me love people. Watch how I love people. That's my business card. And so, again, that's what we have here. Again, going on, genuine love enables us to fulfill the commandments of the Lord. I'm not preaching on these verses, but in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, they were asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he answered them, and you know what it is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But he didn't stop with that answer. And he says, the second one's just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. You want to do what God has asked you to do? You want to be able to not lie about people, about not steal from people, not kill people, not do terrible things. You know how what enables us to do it? The love of God. When we realize what Jesus did for us and we start loving him the way we should, then you know what? We're not going to have a problem with what we do to other people. Because love is going to dominate it. And so again, when Jesus said there's two commandments you really need to know, not the ten. Let's just worry about two right now. Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Again, that's the fulfilling of the law. Going back to 1 John, if you look at 1 John chapter 3, look at verse 11, okay? Again, I'm just going to put this down. This is what the sermon is about, though. But believers are to love the brethren, okay? For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. That's the theme here. We're supposed to love one another. Again, I come back to this. You look at verses 14 and 15. As I said, the book was written to give us reasons why we know we're saved, okay? And we'll notice there in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Love is another one of the strongest proofs that we're saved. Not the only one. Read the other parts of the book of 1 John. You'll get some more reasons why we know we're saved. But it is a proof that possibly Jesus lives in your heart here. If you're looking for some things that are taking place around you to give you some assurances of your salvation. So consequently, love for others will display itself in three ways. Here comes your three-point sermon. This is like 3 points in a poem. It's one of those standard sermons that I've wrote. But again, haven't really taught you much up until this point, have I? Probably won't. But again, I'm going to put here that basically brotherly love is extensive. Brotherly love is extensive. Make sure we get this for you. But you'll notice in verse 16 it says, for the brethren. Okay? For the brethren. It's extensive. It's going to reach far is what it's going to do. Now, before we look at us, I want to look at Jesus. Okay? Notice who Jesus loved. Jesus loved his friends. Okay? So that you understand that. I don't know who all your friends are. I don't know who, if I were to say, you know, write down on a piece of paper, you know, your close group of friends and then your other set of friends, you know, but Jesus says one group of people you ought to love is your friends, okay? I hope you do. But I do know this. Do you know why sometimes friends stop being friends? Because we stop loving them. Well, I used to love them, but not anymore. You know what they did to me? Okay? But we ought to love our friends, should we not? But looking at Jesus, Romans 5:8, not only did Jesus love his friends, he also loved his enemies. If you look at it here, God commended his love toward us while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Folks, look at this world. Look at the gross, horrible, terrible things that people are doing in this world today. It just seems like every day we come to another new low, do we not? Or we don't think we can get any worse than we've been in the past, and then all of a sudden we do. But you know what? Jesus didn't just love his friends. He also loved sinners, everyone. Kind of hard for me to imagine, but while people were killing Jesus on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. He still loved them. He wanted them to come to him. So again, when you look at Jesus, how extensive was his love? Well, he loved that group of people that are around him, to the one that was closest to him that we refer to as John. What did the Bible say? You know, the one whom Jesus loved. But he loved sinners. He loves sinners. It's hard for me to imagine, but in Matthew chapter 19, a rich young ruler came to Jesus and rejected him. And yet it says Jesus loved him. A man that rejected him. And he said he still loved him. So Jesus loved those who were close to him and those that would even reject him. What about us? What about us? If you'll notice this passage that was read by Dan, you find the word brother, brethren, or one another in all those verses. 10, 11, 12. We missed 13 for some reason. 14, 15, 16, 17. It talks about your brother, your brethren, love one another. Okay? So when it comes to us, who are we supposed to love? Those that are our friends and close to us. Okay. By the way, can I tell you really what brother, brethren, and one another means? Christians. Christians. We're supposed to love all Christians. Okay. Now, I kind of picture it here. You know, we've got ourselves here, and we've got this group of people that sort of like us, and we hang around. Maybe we go to church together, but they're a good group of people, and we love them. But then there maybe is other Christians that extend down the line, and we're not sure if we love them or not. They're not quite like us. They do things maybe a little bit different than we do. Do we really love them? Folks, if they know Jesus is their Savior, they're on the list. It's extensive. Okay? It's just not a small group. Just not a small group. Talking to Brother Bob Mahalik the other day. Brother Bob Mahalik and I, we get this publication. Maybe another one of you in here gets it. But we get this publication, and every time it comes in the mail, we read it, and then we talk to each other about it, and we laugh. Okay? We have come to realize that the man who writes this publication, there's only one person in the world who's doing everything right. Does anybody want to guess who it is? Him. I mean, he is just blowing everybody away with his writings. He just hates, disassociated, has nothing to do with anybody anymore. Okay? I mean, so, Bob, yeah, because I said, Bob just got in the mail the other day, and he said, hey, did you get it? I said, well, I got it, but I didn't have time to read it. It's not one of those things that's high on my priority list. Okay? Because, you know, I'm just going to read there why he hates me. That's really what it comes down to. I'm going to read in there why he hates me. All right? And so we read it. He hates me. Okay. Got to start the coal fire. That'll be a good thing to use. So, again, I tell people, his toleration love for the brethren is what? Very limited. Very closed. If you don't look at everything and agree with him on everything, he's going to write about you. Okay? I guarantee you, I could probably get my name in the paper. I could just write to him and say, man, I'm not appreciating what you're writing. And then sign my name. And then he'll, in the next publication, say, there's a guy out there named Rick Gilbaugh. I don't like him because he don't like me. Okay? Or something. But you know what? It's extensive, folks. It's big. We're supposed to love the brethren. We've got to do that. Again, Cain, an example of what can happen when brotherly love does not exist. Okay? And by the way, the man who's writing that paper, he's shooting everybody. Man, he's shooting people. Stop shooting. Stop hurting people. Stop killing people. That's really what he's doing here, hurting ministries, hurting people. Again, but you know, there's another group that we're supposed to love just beside our brethren. What is it? Our enemies. Anybody find this easy to do? I'm going to tell you, this is the hard group, okay? Go with me, please, if you will, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Let's go there. So again, we can see exactly what it says. Make sure we know exactly what it says. Matthew 5, 44. And this is how I do it, because I want you to see some words that we don't pay much attention to. We could probably go to this man who writes this paper. Maybe we could go to you. Maybe we could go to me. And I could give you all the reasons why there's people in this world I don't love. And I don't show them love. And so I could come to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is why I don't like this person. This is why I don't love this person. This is why I don't love this person. And this is what Jesus says. Are you ready? But I say unto you. Do you know what he just said? I'm not even listening to all the things you just said. It's not the truth. But I say unto you. We usually leave those words off. I don't care what you said. This is what I'm saying. And if you'll notice there in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. And if you didn't get the point, he's going to keep going. There's not a period there, which in this world, I don't know what the word period means anymore. Okay, is anybody with me on that? I've heard people say period to prove a point, and it doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? Okay, so I don't use the word period anymore because it doesn't carry its weight. Love your enemies. Notice, keep going. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. He has now given you four areas of things that people will do to you, and he is saying, love them even when they do this. Okay? Love them when they curse you. Okay? That's just say bad things about people. Okay? You hear bad things that people are saying about you. That's what we're talking about. Now you have to love those people. What about people that hate you? Okay? You got to love them, he said. People that despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus said, love them. Now, folks, I'm on a point. What is it? Brotherly love is extensive. It's really wide. It's really big. Okay? It's really hard to love those people that far. I like to love those that just treat me good and are nice to me. But you know, the Bible says we've got to love people this big. Okay? I tell people, I'm working on this. I really am. Right? I was working up the booth at Penn State yesterday. I got a little angry. Okay? Now, I had a lot of my friends around me. One of the people that I was, those aren't the people I was angry with. Okay? But I was telling some people what happened is a man came up to me and said, hey, how much is two chicken baskets? And I said, it'll be $16. He goes, oh, I don't have it. Can I just have one? Sure. Well, ring him up for one chicken basket. Okay? It wasn't a couple minutes later, he comes back and said, I just put my chicken basket down on the table over there to open up some ketchup, and somebody stole it. Can I have another one? Okay. It's a good thing. They have this wide counter between us. You know, I knew what he was trying to do. Somebody tell me what he was trying to do. He was trying to steal. Okay. By the way, now, this is what just goes through my mind. The answer I said to him was no. No, I'm sorry. But here's what I'm thinking. This guy was bigger than me, all right? He was bigger than me and all that. No, I wasn't thinking about punching him or doing anything like that. I'm just thinking if I'm a thief, I would watch the line because there's a lot of little girls that come through the line. I'd wait for them to put theirs down and try to steal it Because even if they caught me, what could they not do? Beat me up. But this guy was big enough that I wouldn't steal from him, because if he could, he'd beat you up. So I'm thinking, look, if somebody's looking to steal stuff, they're not looking to steal it from you. You're too big, all right? I steal it from the little girls. And in fact, the little girls, you could just probably say, get out of here and take it from them, you know, or something. I was angry. The guy's trying to steal from me. I'm thinking, okay, this is Center County Christian Academy running the booth. Settle down. Take it easy. Be what Jesus would want you to be. So I didn't yell at him. I just said no. No. I knew what he's trying to do. Because he promised his girlfriend, probably back in the stands, hey, I'll go get you chicken baskets. And then he didn't have the money to do it, so he's going to steal the other one. I got a little, you know, I just get a little upset. And then, okay, settle down. Go on to the next guy. Okay? Love your enemies. I probably should have pulled out $8 and bought him another one. What do you think? Do I have biblical proof for that? If your enemy is hungry? That's tough, is it not? You can see that. Which leads me to the next point. Are you ready for this? Brotherly love could be what? Expensive. Okay? Expensive. Brotherly love is expensive. Maybe I should have said, you know what, you're my enemy, and since you're hungry, my Bible says I've got to feed you. I didn't think of that fast, okay? Didn't have any money in my wallet, but I had a credit card, and guess what? My little machine that I run takes credit cards. I could have bought him a chicken basket. I didn't think of it that fast. Maybe if I see him the next time, hey, buddy, I owe you a chicken basket. You're the guy that tried to lie from me and steal me one, right? Let me give you one. That's hard to do. It could be expensive. It might cost you. Is everybody following me through? It definitely could. And you'll notice in verse 17, it uses the words when you're back. I better get back there. Back to 1 John chapter 3. Again, when you use it, but whoso hath this world's goods, it might cost you this world's goods to love somebody. It might cost you. By the way, here, I put a price tag on salvation, which you can't. But if I were to spend $8 to buy a guy a chicken basket, which would open him up to the gospel, would you pay it? Makes you think, doesn't it? Makes you think. Okay? It might cost you this world's goods. Again, when I go back to Jesus, Romans 5:8, but God commended love toward us, and why were you yet sinners? Christ what? Tell me how expensive that is. That's really expensive. He gave everything that he had when he came and died for us. He gave absolutely everything. Again, I just went through a quick little thing. I'll write the verses up there. You can turn to them if you want. But in Matthew 10:42, basically what it says there is that if you give a cup of cold water to somebody as a Christian. I mean, we're starting at the bottom of a ladder. That maybe one of the things you might have to give somebody is what? Just a cup of cold water. How much does that cost? Now, if I would have preached this sermon years ago, I would have said a cup of cold water is free. But yesterday at the stadium, it's $4. Okay? A bottle of water costs $4 up there. Okay? And everybody complains about it, but every time they buy a $4 water, we get 50 cents, so I'm not complaining. Okay? But a cup of cold water, that's not very expensive. But the Bible says, you know what? There's times when what we need to do is give a cup of cold water. 1 John 3:17, I've already given you that verse. It just talks about this world's goods. Maybe it's not a cup of cold water. Maybe you need to give somebody a pair of shoes. Maybe you need to give them a shirt. Maybe you need to give them a coat. Things that you own. This world's goods. Okay? And so all of us here, you look like you own something that this world has to offer. Maybe you might have to give it up. You might have to give it up. It could be expensive. Well, it was a nice coat, or it was a nice pair of shoes, or it was, okay. It might be expensive to give it up there, okay? James 2:16, basically this is when somebody's knocking at your door and they're basically naked and you say, you know, you don't give them those things which are needful for the body. So another thing that Christians need to give in a very willing way is things that are needful for the body. Now, I just have a question for you. What are some things that as you think about your life, they are needful for your body as you live in this world? I think food's one of them. Giving up some food, getting some food for people. Okay, I think most of us look at clothes as being things that are needful for the body. Maybe even some shelter. Shelter is needful for the body. There's a number of things that are needful for the body. Right? You have them, give them or share them. Is that a good word to do? It's not so hard to do, but it could be expensive. But you don't know what I paid, or that's my best one, or surely you're not asking me to give up. It might be expensive to do so. Okay. We'll end at John 15:13, however, greater love hath no man than this, that a man does what? Lays down his life for his friends. Now, it could be expensive. In fact, it could be so expensive that what you lay down for people that you're loving is you lay down your own life. You just give it to them. And that's what you do. It could be expensive. That's what we need to do. I look at marriage. Maybe I need to preach more on marriage and things like that. I try to read things on the internet, and sometimes people do studies, what's the one thing that marriages are lacking, or why most marriages break up, or why most marriages, and all this. And they come up with reasons. I think I got my reason. You know what most reasons why marriages break up? Love. Love. I'll tell you what, you can be poor as church mice, and if you love one another, you'll make it. Didn't Sonny and Cher sing a song about that? Okay, yeah. Look, I like to see people's faces. Oh, yeah. Now, we don't want to talk about it. Come on, what's the name of the song? I Got You, Babe. Okay? Yeah, see? Hey, we don't have anything, but we got each other. That's it. All right? Now, you're going to say, Pastor's quoting Sonny and Cher in church. Now we're on our way down, are we not? Okay? But again, you find out. What is it? A lot of times they go down love, selfishness, the things that we're talking about here. Right? Again, let's work at it. You're a married couple, love. That's what we need. Greater love hath no man than this. A man lay down his love, his life for a friend. Give him everything you got. Give it till it hurts. Because love can be expensive. God-like love knows no boundaries, sets no limits. It draws no lines. It never says this far and no farther. True love is love without limits. If I really love you, then no sacrifice is too great. That makes sense to everybody? Okay. Moms, what won't you do for your children? Why? Because you love them. Okay. I don't know. Folks, I'm just going to tell you this. Life's funny. Okay. I think life is funny. I look at things and think that life is funny. And I laugh about things. Sometimes when I'm in the middle of it, all I can do is laugh. All right. But last night, okay, I'm just going to share about my family a little bit. They probably hate when I do it. But my son's home, and my daughter's having a birthday soon, and she goes, well, Curtis isn't going to be here for my birthday. So Ryan and I are going to take Curtis out, and we're going to go celebrate my birthday. Can you watch the kids? Okay. What's the answer? Yeah, I can watch the kids. No problem. I like watching the kids, right? So I got the kids. They say, hey, we got this DVD we want to watch. Okay. Well, what is it? It's called The Nutcracker. I'm thinking, okay, it's The Nutcracker. All right. And I've seen The Nutcracker. It's not one of my favorites, but I've watched The Nutcracker. But I'm not sure what it was, and I'm missing what it was, but it's a cartoon thing, and it's called like Rescue Pets or Hero Pets, Wonder Pets. They have a W. That's right. It's Wonder Pets. Now, it is a turtle, a guinea pig, and a little chick. However, it's done in operetta form. Okay, does anybody know what operetta is? Opera is when you sing everything in a foreign language. They're not singing in a foreign language. They are singing in English. So that makes it an operetta. Did everybody know that? So if you do an opera in English, it's an opera. So the little guinea pig, the little turtle, and the little chicken do everything in operetta form. While my family is out there enjoying themselves at a very nice restaurant and other beautiful activities, I am sitting in a room watching a guinea pig and a turtle and a chicken sing for 2 hours. Is everybody with me? And it's as foolish as, what are we going to do? I don't know. And I'm like, I'm dying here. Okay? I'm going to get my children back. Okay, somewhere. But, again, I just come down to this, okay? Now, watch this. Why is a 56-year-old man sitting in a room watching a guinea pig, a chicken or chickie, and a turtle sing their lives for 2 hours? It's love. Are you following me through? It's love. Now, you can come and try to explain other reasons. Folks, I wasn't into it, okay? Didn't have any appeal to me. But I'm doing it, And we were having a good time. From time to time, when one of the episodes would end, and before the next one would come on, I would try to say, okay, I think it's over. And they go, oh, no, we didn't see the skunk. We didn't see him rescue the skunk yet. We got to keep watching, Pop. Okay. Okay. Love. It's love. Now, if some of you are saying, Pastor, I really got to get that DVD. I'll sell it to you cheap, okay? Everybody understands love, do you not? What's beyond you? What is, I'm too manly to do this. I don't want to do this. It's too expensive. Extensive and expensive. That's what brotherly love is. Does everybody get that? The last one then I want to give you then. Oh, by the way, money, materials, and moments of time. I thought I'd come up with alliteration. These are things that, again, that cost us. They cost us. Money's expensive. Our materials are expensive. And I even thought this. You know what? Moments of time are expensive. What's your time worth? Okay? You know, there's people out there that charge a lot of money for their time, do they not? Take your car to a garage. Have a repairman come in. Do whatever you got to do. Money, time's expensive. Okay? But that's the things we need to give to people. Money, materials, moments of time. If you say, well, Pastor, I don't have any money, then give time. Does that make sense to you? Well, Pastor, I don't have any money to give people, then give your time. That's what you need to give there. Again, let's go to the last one. And this is, again, coming over, and maybe it overlaps a little bit. But brotherly love is expressive, okay? 1 John 3:18, my little children, it's right there. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in what? Truth. What, folks, you can talk about love all you want. But it's not love until you what? Do it. Express it. Put it in a form there. Proverbs 3:27-28. Notice, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it, when thou hast it by thee. I mean, you have it, you can meet needs, and you keep it. That's not love. Love is saying, I'll give it to you there then. Okay. Again, I just put this down here. Genuine love doesn't just talk. It acts. Genuine love doesn't just talk, it acts. Again, I kind of thought of this one up, okay? Jesus, early in his ministry, John chapter 3, early in his ministry, he quoted this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you think that's like the greatest verse in the Bible? Okay, if Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross, how many think it's the greatest verse in the Bible? He talked about love. For God so loved the world. He talked about it. But then if he doesn't go and do what it takes to give us everlasting life, it's just what? Talk. So is this a true statement? Without Calvary, John 3:16 is nothing but what? Empty words. That's what it is. It's just empty words. But it's not empty words because Jesus expressed his love to us and he did go and die on the cross. Again, people who talk and don't do really do not love. Okay? Again, we've got to make sure that we've got that down there. Again, people who are insincere might talk about helping, but people who truly love, like the Lord, reach out to help a fellow believer. You will. Okay? Don't just talk about it. There's things that we have to do there. Real love might be manifested by meeting a material need. Okay? Somebody's got a material need. Open your wallet up. Open your cupboard up. Do something that you've got to do here. Real love might be manifested by meeting a material need. Again, I put up here, it might be manifested by lending a helping hand or a listening ear. What does the person need at this time? It might be money. It might be material. It might be moments of time. But love will definitely do something. It just won't turn away and walk away. The bottom line here is this. Real love does more than simply talk. It acts. Is that what John is saying here in 1 John? He who sees somebody has a need and you don't open up your bowels of compassion towards them. You just say, well, I'm going to keep all this. You know what? The question is asked at the end of verse 17. How dwelleth the love of God in him? John says, I haven't figured it out yet. Have you? If a person doesn't give, then I don't know how it works there then. Galatians 6:2. Again, you look at Galatians 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Love people. Help them out. Whatever's needed there. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Thought you'd never see this word, would you? Okay? I do tell people, when you see this word, don't get excited. Because in the book of Philippians, finally is said in Philippians 3:1. And you still have Philippians 3 and Philippians 4. Okay? But it means we're getting close in my mind, okay? I just put this question. What a dumb question, but I just put it up there. How's your love life? You talking about it? Or are you really doing something? Can we honestly say that we love others as we should? Can we honestly say that we are meeting needs, lifting burdens, and loving like Jesus? Is that what we're doing? We need to heed the message in these verses. And the verse is, we must learn to love like Jesus does. Not Cain. We need to do what Jesus does. Are you loving people? Or are you just talking about it when you see a need? Again, I was thinking about this sermon. And then Wednesday happened and the Halps lost everything. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know? Now, some of you might go this way. Well, who are they? It's extensive, folks. Doesn't matter if you know who they are or not. We've got to do something, don't we? Okay. Family. What is it? Seven kids in the family? They lost everything. Okay. Did anybody hear they lost the puppy dog? Did anybody hear they lost the puppy dog? Okay. They lost everything. Okay. Now, I know we don't have a fund set up through our church to do it. But I think Carol Martz gave the best thing, gift cards. If you can get gift cards or Visa cards and get them taken down to them, that's the best thing they need. As we inquired, Tom Palmer got back to us. The best thing they need right now is things like that to buy the intangibles that we just don't know how to buy and can't get to for them. If you can open up your pocketbook, somebody said, well, is there, what about tax exemption? I don't know. I didn't read about tax exemption in the Bible. Let's just give. God will worry about the rest, or whatever. So if you can write them a personal check if you have to. Again, Grace Baptist Church may have something down here. Again, Pastor Codner's church. If you say, well, I don't know how to get things to them, you bring them to me. I'll figure out how to get them to the right place. But again, there's an opportunity to give. Okay? Good people that need help. And here we are. Most of us have this world's goods, do we not? Okay? Most of us have something in our wallet. Okay? What are we going to do? Oh, it's a shame they lost everything. Sure hope somebody does something. What's the answer to it? We're the answer, are we not? Father, I pray that you might help us to not love in word, but in deed. Lord, help our love to be extensive, that it reaches to all, even our enemies. Lord, help it to be expensive, that there's nothing in our possessions that we're not willing to get rid of. Lord, I pray that you would help us, please, to make sure that we do it instead of talk about it. Lord, thank you that you loved us, and it really was extensive because you extended your love to a sinner like me. It really was expensive because it was your blood that was shed and you gave your life. And Lord, it really was expressed because you went to Calvary. You didn't quit. You did exactly what you said you were going to do as you were teaching on this earth. Lord, thank you that you love us. Help us to love others now in Jesus' name. Amen.